Save the forest, save our birds. That's the slogan of the Maui Forest Bird Recovery Project. And in our Hawaii Garden and Forest segment, we head over to the Valley Isle. Imagine attaching transmitters on Maui's endangered birds. That's challenging enough, but try moving a whole population of the rare Maui parrotbill, a type of Hawaiian honey creeper, to another part of the island. We talked to Hannah Mounts, the coordinator of the project, who is planning to do just that.
Maui Forest Bird Recovery Project is trying to basically prevent the extinction of forest birds on Maui. So we work on recovering the kiwiqiu, which is the most endangered forest bird on Maui, and we have been putting radio transmitters out on Hawaii Amakihi to be able to track them around the forest, and it's kind of a trial for when we're going to put the more endangered bird out in that same forest habitat and be able to track them as well.
So how do you actually put these transmitters on the birds? Explain that process.
Yeah, they're very tiny. They have to weigh less than 3 to 5% of the bird's weight, so they're very, very tiny, and they go around their legs with an elastic loop harness, and they sit in the middle of their back, and the birds basically can't take them off. And then we follow them around with handheld antennas, and you know, we get different locations on where they are and then try to get a visual on the actual bird.
That's amazing. I mean, how long have we been doing this?
Oh, the technology gets better every single year. I work on very small dinky birds, so we had to wait a long time until these transmitters could get small enough that we could put them on small birds. You know, bigger animals, we've been able to, you know, you can do really fancy stuff like satellite tracking and things like that, but we can't put something that big on these small birds, so we have to rely on just being able to track them on land.
Now, I recall doing a story with the shark tagging. And Carl Meyer out at Coconut Island and his staff, they actually put satellite tags on big tiger sharks, very big tiger sharks. But same thing, they talked about how the technology has gotten better and better. And they actually have a critter cam on a shark. But I imagine with the bird, it's a little different because, like you said, they're so tiny.
They're so tiny. I mean, these birds, the kiwiqiu, when we put the transmitters on them, kiwiqiu weigh between 17 to 25 grams. I mean, these guys are tiny. And so you can't put something very big on them. And so as the technology improves, though, basically it's the battery that weighs a lot. And so as it improves, you're able to get a longer duration. So like some people have put transmitters on dragonflies. So, I mean, they're super tiny, but they don't last very long. These transmitters that we're putting on now with current technology, we're going to be able to get them to last about 25 to 60 days, depending on the bird's weight, which is actually a pretty long time to be able to follow them around.
And describe this bird for our listeners who aren't familiar with it.
Sure. So kiwiqiu, it's kind of like the woodpecker role on Maui. So they have a really big curved bill, and they rip apart bark and branches and things like that to find invertebrates and grubs that are inside. It's a yellow-green bird, and some people look at it, it's a little bit smaller than a lovebird, and with that same like giant bill. So it's very unique, and there aren't any other honey creepers like it.
Okay, so there's a very small population on Maui.
There is a very small population on Maui, so our project is focused on that species because they're the most critically endangered on Maui. The current population estimates less than 300 individuals, and that's a global population because they're a Maui endemic.
And so is it a particular area of Maui where they're found?
They're currently found on the windward slopes of Maui, everywhere from people have often visited TNC's Waikamoi Preserve, which is a windward rainforest area that people can access. And they're found there all the way across that windward slope above 5,000 feet. But very remote, very few people experience them. But we're actually moving them to the leeward side of the island this October, which is really exciting because they're isolated up there on that windward slope because that's the only good forest we have left on Maui. And they probably don't really want to be there. When you look at the fossil record, they were found island-wide, but we just don't have forest and disease-free habitat for them island-wide anymore, so they're just restricted to this little 36-square-kilometer area. So we're going to move them. We've been doing forest restoration. We're going to move them to the leeward side. We're going to support them and hope that we can establish a second population on the other side of the volcano.
That's pretty exciting stuff, though, when you try and translocate a a group of birds.
Yeah, super exciting, super scary. We're putting very little tiny endangered birds in boxes and flying them via helicopters from one side of the mountain to the other, letting them go in a koa forest instead of an ohia forest. But we're losing them on the windward side. Their population is continuing to decline, and they're in protected habitat. It's already fenced. You know, the ungulates are out, and until we get landscape level management for introduced small mammals or disease control, which would be mosquito management, there's nothing else we can do for them on that side. So we've got the opportunity to give them another chance on the other side.
And ungulates, we're talking pigs?
Pigs, deer, goats, yep.
Okay. So, gosh, so hopefully they'll adapt to this other home that they'll be moved to.
Yeah, we hope so. Historically, they were found in this area that we're moving them to. But of course, that individual bird that we're going to move has never been in that habitat before. So we're constructing aviaries that we're going to put the birds in for 1 to 2 weeks. They're going to learn how to eat out of feeders, that we provide live food for them and get them familiar with that area. And then we do what we call a soft release, whereas after they've been in the aviary for 1 or 2 weeks, then we open the doors. And then we're going to be able to track them with those transmitters to see how they're interacting with the environment.
And if these transmitters only last for a certain time, then how do you recover the birds and then reband them?
Right. So when we let them go with the transmitters on, we also put a set of color bands on their legs. And so these are plastic bands that have a unique combination. So on one bird's leg, his right leg might have a red and a black, and his other leg might have a yellow over his metal band, which has a number on it. So you're actually able to identify that individual through binoculars for the rest of his life. But it's obviously a lot harder to find them when the transmitter battery dies and you don't have any clues to tell you where they are.
And is there a way that the transmitters, like, fall off?
There are, yeah, because we don't want them on the birds the rest of their life because they're obviously impacting them. So when we make that loop harness that we talked about, we put a little weak link, we call it, with a little piece of rubber band. And we sew this little piece of rubber band in there, and that rubber band deteriorates with UV damage and just being, you know, wet and dry and wet and dry. And then that breaks, and then the transmitter falls off.
And then do we have any capability to do a critter cam at all?
Too small, way too small. It'd be so cool, though, to be able to see them, like, foraging and digging through bark and things like that. But, yeah, no, these transmitters are so tiny. What we can do is we can put game cameras up on the feeding stations. And so when the bird actually comes back to the feeding station, we can then take photos of who's coming back and look at what they're doing.
Okay. And then what about the threats to these birds?
Right. So the threats to these birds are very similar to all the forest birds across Hawaii. We've lost most of our forest on all the islands, and so forest loss and continued degradation is big. But even in the forest areas that are left, our current threats that we're facing are the constant influx of new introduced plants and animals, so invasive species, and then the invasive species that are here, like mammalian predators that are predating on these birds. And then we also have the unique challenge of avian disease. So we have introduced mosquitoes and introduced disease, and that limits almost all of our native forest birds to high elevation areas, which makes recovery a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, because I imagine you have a long way to go to get to work.
We do. Luckily, we have helicopters in Hawaii.
And then I guess what makes you so passionate about this type of work with these birds?
Yeah, it's great. I actually came to Hawaii as an intern on this same project 13 years ago. And one thing that's great about Hawaii is the islands are so small that we really can make a difference. So, you know, Maui is being very progressive with fencing, and we have lots of really strong partnerships and moving forward with forest restoration that we can really see, like, a bright future for these guys going forward.
And is there any bright spot on the horizon for funding to be able to continue doing what you're doing, or at least ramp it up in some way?
Yeah, funding is always an issue, and people always ask how they can help, and I always hate saying, like, well, funding, 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 but it is a big thing where you know, we want people who live here to have ownership over, you know, the land and the island and be able to, you know, to give back. And something that's been really great for us is we've been basically a forest restoration project the last few years while we've been getting this reintroduction site ready, and it's working. So people see that, and they actually see this forest that's being rebuilt as a hope spot. And that has been, you know, able to get us additional funding where people want to sponsor trees and they want to volunteer and things like that. We're a nonprofit, so we have a very diverse funding stream from both state, federal, private, and nonprofit funding.
And I know we had some scientists in here who were working with endangered snails, and I think we had Lonesome George. You know, they had names for all their snails. You have names for your birds too?
Sometimes we try not to name them, but it's funny, their color band combos kind of lend themselves to names, and so sometimes when people are in the field, they do give the different pairs just like names, like the Chico's pair or the Cubs or something like that, because they know based on their colors who they're talking about.
Okay, all right, so we're rooting for the team, right?
Yep.
And you have to come back and let us know how the move goes in the fall.
We would love to. Yeah, it's a really exciting next few months. This has been 13 years coming. And moving these first birds in the fall is going to tell us a lot. And we're going to really know how they're going to react to that landscape. We're going to know how we're going to forward in the future. So it's going to be a busy few months. And yeah, we'd love people to keep in touch with the project and follow us online. And we'll try to, post lots of updates and keep people in the loop of what's going on.
And that was Hannah Mounts, the coordinator of the Maui Forest Bird Recovery Project. The ambitious QEQ project was spotlighted at the Hawaii Conservation Conference, which was held earlier this month on Oahu.